You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. Well, here we are. We just finished up the first week of December. The employment numbers are just phenomenal, peachy. What could possibly go wrong? Well, let's see what the real numbers are and what's really going on. Let's scratch the surface and find out with Russell Stone. Russell, you are owner, CEO of Scranton Financial Group of South Windsor up in Connecticut, not too far from where I used to live. Hey, so the last job number is, if you watch the propaganda, would have us believe that the economy is firing on all cylinders and heading in the right direction. But you have a different view, don't you?
Yes, I do. Most people would peg it as doom and gloom. It's not really where I'm coming from. I like to look at numbers because they represent reality. But you can't really take what you're given from government sources, because there's a lot of manipulation in those numbers. Within the jobs numbers, there's the birth to death ratio. Nobody ever talks about that. Nobody even knows how to explain it. But it alters the jobs report numbers quite a bit. The numbers that we saw just this last November, you know, there are 263,000 jobs. Everybody's jumping for joy. But in February, it was 750,000 jobs. Right. The trend over the last 3 months has been stagnant, and we're just coming up. And the question I asked you before we started talking is, are these new jobs representing a growing economy, or are these old jobs that are being called back from layoffs? And I think it's the latter. I think these are jobs that are people that were laid off in the hotel industry, the services industries, and some of these restaurants and services have to bring back some people. And these people are now willing to go back to work because they're running out of money.
So you think that's what this is about, huh? That it's not really organic growth of the job market.
No, there's too many symptoms that say otherwise. Just look at the credit cards. The consumer spending is zero as far as their income versus discretionary income is zero for the first time in a long time, where the consumer's bills are as great as their income. So how are they going to spur the economy if they don't have any excess income, right? Wages went up 5.1%. Everybody's excited about that, but inflation, the real inflation number, is closer to 15.
This is true. And hey, how do you calculate the real inflation number? Because the government gives us one number, and we know that that is dramatically understating it, don't we?
Well, leave it to the government. They altered that number, by the way, back in the early 90s. And the way they used to calculate, and John Williams from Shadow Stats is great. He calculates the old-fashioned way. But they used to include food, fuel, housing, and energy. Now they exclude all those, right? So they come up with a great excuse to justify it, but that's the barometer that they throw out there in the media to tell everybody that things are really peachy keen, and they're not. I went to the store the other day. I was flabbergasted. I was like shocked at what I spent, what $100 bought me at the grocery store, right? It was crazy. It was like one and a half bags that I could carry out in one arm.
Yeah, but you're buying all the expensive stuff. You're buying that filet mignon for $40 a pound now, right?
No, not at all. The good thing about the inflation is putting everybody on a diet, that's for sure.
Hey, maybe we found the cure to the obesity epidemic here, Russell.
That could be. It's being forced upon us. I kind of like choices in my world. And right now, I feel like a lot of those choices are being taken from us. And it doesn't make sense. The government is spending. We're $32 trillion in debt. We have a stock market that's closer to the highs, not the lows. And history tells us that we're ready for a large correction that was created by the fact that they held interest rates low for 12 years. Now we're paying a price for that, right? We're not going to get around this. There is no easy solution, and get ready for the roller coaster ride. And if people just pull back on their risk and go more to cash. Get ready for the bottom, because this will be like June of 1932 when the market hit the bottom. Then it was a great time to go back in.
All right. So what is Joe Sixpack and Steve Chardonnay supposed to do when you've got such awful fundamentals ahead and you know that there's going to be pain? The pain could go on for decades. Russell, last time we had inflation, and I'd venture to say you're old enough to remember, that went on for 2.5 decades.
Well, keep in mind that you go back to 1971 when we came off the gold standard, right? That gave the government the green light to print money, to spend money, right? One of the reasons why we left the gold standard in 1971 is because we were basically out of money. And then we had to go to the Saudi Arabia and the OPEC nations and barter with them. We said, listen, we'll protect you militarily, but you guys have to require the world to purchase oil in our dollars. Right. What you're seeing right now is the production value of oil is 10 times greater than any other commodity. So right now we benefit. There's a huge demand on our dollar because of all the world purchasing oil in our dollar. Well, that's a problem because now countries are pulling away from that. They see our fiat dollar as being backed by debt, and they're losing confidence in our ability to support the dollar. And that's going to be problematic. So I think people have to be open-minded that the world is going to change like they did in 1944 at the Bretton Woods Accords in New Hampshire, the way they do monetary policy throughout the world. And we're due for the change. And I'm not being anti. This is due. This is overdue. We have to change the way we interact with the world. And it's going to come at the cost of the dollar. That you have the BRIC dollar with China, Russia, India, Brazil, and South Africa, all forming a new currency backed by commodities. That's going to compete with the dollar. So if the world is given a choice to either purchase oil in the BRIC dollar or the dollar, well, guess what's going to happen? Also, we're going to have a flood of dollars coming back into our country that's going to cause inflation. We have all sorts of problems coming our way. That we have to be prepared for. We're capable of handling, but we have to have better leadership across the board.
Well, I knew there was a catch. Yeah. So that's all it takes is better leadership. So we should be fine then, right?
Not just here, though, across the world. We need better leadership in all major economies. You can't run the world on debt. You can't run the world on debt, and the governments can't be the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we know that, but they would have us believe otherwise. So how do you weather this storm, which appears to be inevitable?
One of the things that I've been in this business for 26 years, 27 years. And one of the very first conversations I have with clients is you need to put a percentage of your money into silver, physical silver. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation. You would want your currency backed by gold or silver, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, in 1920, you're preaching to the converted here.
So think about this. In 1929, the dollar collapsed. The economy collapsed. The credit markets collapsed. The markets collapsed onto a currency that was backed by gold. Correct?
Correct. Yes.
Now, what is our currency backed by? We're $32 trillion in debt. Our currency is backed by credit.
Yes.
So we have a credit collapse onto a credit backed currency. It's not going to work. So the first thing people need to do is get ready, own physical silver, right? It's got the greatest upside over gold, and you don't have to buy a ton. $26,000 will buy 1,000 ounces, right? That's a good deal. That's a good deal, right? If the silver is priced based on silver, not on the paper certificates, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think that is worth?
Good question. I've been grappling with that one for many years here. And Russell, it's, the sky's the limit, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Torque Resources is an exploration company establishing a portfolio of premier copper gold early stage projects in Chile. Torque's management and technical teams have a strong track record of raising capital, discovery, and monetization of exploration successes. The company's Margarita Copper Gold project is located within the prolific coastal Cordillera Belt in Chile, which hosts some of the world's largest and most profitable copper mines. The Margarita project possesses excellent discovery potential for a major copper discovery due to the strength of the alteration system, large-scale magnetic targets, and the presence of copper oxide mineralization. Drilling is anticipated to begin in Q3 of this year. Torque trades in Canada under TORQ and on the OTC under TRBMF. To learn more, go to torqueresources.com. That's torqueresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
It is, because right now the dollar value of silver is hovering around $1,000 an ounce, right? But the paper value of silver is, you know, the $22 that we see right now. But that's a derivative, and it's used to keep gold and silver suppressed so that it doesn't expose the weakness of the dollar, right?
Right. So, yeah, I always find that interesting. You know, the whole system rests on confidence. And you know what the root is of confidence? Con. So once people are no longer conned, that's the end of the system, right?
Well, people are waking up. I've had no problem having people buy and take possession of physical silver, right? Like, in fact, it makes sense to them.
But you're like really talking the opposite of your book here, because what do you make if somebody buys some silver? It's a one-shot purchase and not a lot of profit in there. Or people in the financial sector, right?
Well, I don't get paid on the silver, but if somebody buys a 1,000 ounces of silver and the price of silver is detached from the derivatives and it goes to the actual silver value, right? That silver coin that they bought could be worth $500 to $1,000 an ounce or more. What happens when the world loses faith in the dollar? Where's the wealth going to go to?
That's a good question.
It's going to run out of the dollar. It's going to seek gold and silver.
What about real estate as a a hard asset? What's your take on it?
Not yet. It's overinflated like the stock market right now, but allow the price of real estate to go down with the rise in interest rates. That's going to happen. And at the bottom, close to the bottom of the markets, when you can buy 30 Dow stocks with a half an ounce of gold, we're pretty much at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And buy real estate, buy anything that produces wealth. If you're Kiyosaki says that if your investments bring money in, that's an asset. If it costs you money, that's a liability. So focus on the things that bring money in.
So we're talking cash flowing investments, huh?
Correct. Correct.
But investments that cash flow can wind up, basically, you could wind up, the cash flow could be gone if the economy collapses, right?
Well, that's why I say you go to cash, just stay away from the markets for the time being, allow the markets to get to a bottom, and then you can filter back into the various markets. If you want it, some people aren't designed to own real estate. Some people are. Some people are better designed to own dividend paying stocks. There'll be a much better deal in a year or so. There is a time to go to cash. I told people a year ago to go to cash. That was the right call,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the markets are down from a year ago.
Yes.
Across the board.
For sure.
How about the crypto space?
Yeah.
How would you like to be owning cryptocurrencies a year ago versus now?
You mean kleptocurrencies?
Yes, absolutely. And why didn't, that's a good question. Why didn't the government see what was going on with FTX?
No, they were the recipients. It was a daisy chain of, circle jerk of corruption there, right?
I don't know how they get away with it. It just doesn't make sense to me how that went under the radar screen. How did he go under the radar screen?
Hey, and it doesn't look like any prosecution is imminent, does it?
Not as long as he's in the Bahamas.
Well, the Bahamas will do what the United States tells them to do. They don't have a choice.
Right.
They shut down smuggling there and money laundering long ago. But the point is, that as long as we remain divided as a nation, they can kind of do whatever the heck they want, right?
I think we're waking up, though. I spent a lot of time going to conferences this summer where the grassroots efforts were there and the people that are actually doing things and making things happen were there. There's a lot of reason for hope. I think America's waking up across the board, and there's hope for next year and the years beyond. But right now, we have to endure some pain. We're going to have higher interest rates, more inflation. We're going to have shortages in the supermarkets and in oil over the winter. People have to brace for that. Go out and fill up your tanks. If you have a generator, make sure you have enough fuel for it. If you have, you know, I bought some Patriot food supply, reasonably cost. I spent $1,000. I have enough food to feed my family for 3 months. Do little things like that, because your grandparents and your great-grandparents did that in the 30s. All right.
Correct.
Right. And then, you know, a little bit of cash in the house doesn't hurt. Owning silver is very important. Check the ratings of your banks. Make sure that they're highly rated banks. Check the ratings of your insurance companies. Make sure they're the best they can be. You do little things like that and then just get ready for the other side. When all the excess credit is collapsed, then we're going to have the real value of everything is going to be exposed. When the credit bubble has grown to 2,000 trillion worldwide, guess what? The value of everything is distorted. Now, and here's a good analogy for your audience. I had the pleasure of marrying my daughter in July, right? So I bought a nice new suit. It cost me about an ounce of gold, right? If I go back 100 years and I take an ounce of gold and I take a $20 bill, which was what gold costs 100 years ago.
Correct.
And you bought a nice tailored suit. Guess what? 100 years later, an ounce of gold bought me a suit to marry my daughter. A $20 bill wouldn't buy me a handkerchief.
Right? Yeah, well, you can always go on to eBay and buy used clothes, but I know what you're saying there.
Gold and silver retained their value.
It was interesting for a while. Gold couldn't buy a suit, and now it's back. So talking $1,800, $2,000, but you know, you could always get a cheap Chinese suit or one made in Vietnam for about $100, but maybe not what you want to hand your daughter off in.
But right? the point is that it held its value. Gold bought the same thing 100 years ago as it did today, right? Whereas the $20 bill didn't buy anything. It bought a nice suit 100 years ago, but today it doesn't even buy a handkerchief. So that's what people have to be aware of. We're in a dynamic where the credit bubble is going to shrink and the prices are going to go down. And you want to buy at the bottom of this, not at the top. If you buy real estate now, you're buying in an overinflated market. You buy stocks now, they're highly overinflated. Bonds are mispriced, right? People shouldn't be buying bond funds. Why? Because bonds, you don't own the underlying asset. You own stock in the company that buys bonds.
It's a derivative.
Correct. So all these things are going on. And go back to the jobs report. The jobs report is not reflecting a strong, growing economy. In fact, it's showing an acceleration in layoffs. And that's what we have to worry about. There's going to be a lot more layoffs coming. They have to be.
Right. All right. Well, you're talking like a prepper here, Russell. We appreciate you coming on. Just tell us where we find you, how we connect with you on the web.
All right. Thank you. My website is scranfg.com. You can call any of the numbers there if you want to have a one-on-one conversation with me. More than happy to do it. No charge to that conversation. And I love to talk about the economics and all the things that you have to do to get ready. It's going to be an exciting time.
Exciting time indeed. If you got a question for Russell, shoot us an email, kl@carrylutz.com. Post your comments on the YouTube channel. And hey, go to the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for your free newsletter. Russell, truly a pleasure. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again.
Excellent. Merry Christmas.
Likewise. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah and Happy New Year. And hey, just because the economy is in a depression doesn't mean you have to be in one either.
Absolutely.
That's why you need to go to the site. Russell, thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.